Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Psalms 127 declares, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it." And then it goes on to say, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." I believe when you take those verses together, Psalms 127, I believe when you put them together, God is saying this, that he keeps the city through the home that he builds. Having said that, I believe that the enemy is very strategic when it comes to the destruction of the home. And he knows that if he can break down the family, if he can break down marriage, then he can disrupt and corrupt community and our society. I have the conviction that strong families, strong marriages make strong families make a strong church makes a strong community, and strong communities make a strong country. And so it is a domino effect. So I want us to be very intentional this morning when it comes to the topic of family, when it comes to the topic of marriage. You've heard it said, it's been said, and I've said, and will continue to say, that you will never outlive the quality of your relationships. In other words, your life will never go beyond the quality of the relationships that you have. If you have an aunt with a coworker or a cousin or a neighbor or a relative or your brother or your sister or your son or daughter, that kind of stuff will keep you up at night. That kind of stuff will prevent you from sleeping, and you just have this anxiety when relationships are in turmoil, and that can't be truer than it is when it comes to marriage. And so God has made us to be a people that are interdependent upon each other, and I believe that the enemy is constantly planning offense. And for the past 2 weeks, we've dealt with what is the root of being offended? Because ultimately what breaks up relationships, friendships, marriages, what breaks that up is offense. And so for the past 2 weeks, we've talked about what is the root of offense. And the root of offense is unfulfilled expectations. When you expect something of someone and that expectation is not met, then you get offended. The tighter the relationship, the closer the relationship, then the more you expect from that person. And the more you expect from an individual, the likelier it is that they're going to offend you at some point when those expectations are not met. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about managing marital expectations. And what I want to do beginning in this service for the next couple of weeks is I want to go through the Word and say, okay, biblically, what are we called of God to be as husbands and wives? And what need should we be sensitive to within marriage? And I pray as we get into this, for an example, we're going to begin with the needs of the wife. And I know I said last week that, hey, pray for me because I need direction on who goes first. Do we deal with the husband's needs or we deal with the wife's needs? And I really feel like, honestly, it's a scriptural and spiritual thing to deal with the wife's needs first and give our wives preference, because in the parallel that Jesus gives in the New Testament, the church is the bride of Christ, and he is the husband, and Jesus always gives his wife preference. That's why he gave his life, that we might have life. So we're gonna honor the wives and deal with their needs first. And besides all that, I'm a man. And how am I going to get up in this pulpit and say, look, now, first thing we're going to cover is the needs of man. I'm just not going to go there. So call it whatever you want to call it. I believe it's a spiritual thing, but we're going to talk first today about the needs of the wife. Now, here's what I want you to do. And this was so awesome because my wife said this to me. She was at the 9:45 service, and we were visiting after service. And I said to her, I said, okay, because I preached this at 8, 9:45. I said to her, I said, okay, anything, would you tweak anything? Because, I mean, who am I as a man to say what a woman needs? And I said, would you tweak anything? And she said something very profound back to me that just makes me appreciate my wife for who she is. She said back to me, she said, you know, I don't want to be critiquing the wife's needs. She said, I don't think that's where you want me to go. It's where I'm focused all in on the wife's needs. And she was more or less saying, hey, I'll pay stronger attention next week when we talk about the man and the husband's needs. And I couldn't help but appreciate that. I was like, hey, amen, come on, somebody. You know, because I don't need to leave here and my wife be talking about, you said. And so, wives, I want you to hear this word today, but husbands, let's make a decision that we're going to pay close attention and say, okay, how am I lining up when it comes to these needs that my wife has a right to expect of me? And wives, I know you're going to listen, you're going to probably write these things down, but don't do it from the standpoint that you're going to go home and give your husband a test. Now, tell me what they were again now, Hank. Now, let's don't do that, all right? But because what this is going to do is this is going to establish some marital expectation. And so we're setting ourselves up, but it's needful, okay? So the number one need of the wife, number one, security. Security. Watch back at this verse here in Matthew 19. Jesus endorsed what the Spirit of God spoke through Moses in Genesis 2, verse 24. That's a direct connection here in Matthew 19:4. He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Male and female are different. God made two unique individuals, one to be proper and fit and suitable for the other. God looked at man, said it's not good that he be alone, and his answer for that man that was alone was a woman. And God's first institution in the earth was marriage. Verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Everybody say, leave before you cleave. Now, leave here is more than, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm moving out. But will you take care of my car note, insurance, and by the way, get me some electricity in my new apartment? No, leave here insinuates that I have graduated, I have matured, I have developed, and as a man, I am separating myself from the responsibility of my mom and dad. I leave. And now when the man leaves, he can now cleave, but don't cleave till you leave, all right? And the point here is because this cleaving is going to be taking the responsibility of a woman or a wife who biblically otherwise would have been up underneath the authority and supervision and responsibility of her daddy. And I know that's not always the case in society, that we don't always come from these perfect homes, but God's plan was is that the man be able to take and marry this woman who would be given over to him and responsibility of her from her father. And I pity the man that ever comes to my door and says he wants to marry Lana or Mila, because I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't going to be something easy. I don't care if they hang with me until they're 30 years old. 40, they can just welcome to stay right there. And I'm going to have the standard set so high, you better have your stuff together when you ever come ask for the blessing from Mary, one of my daughters. You better have a good job. You better have a nice house. You better have it all together. Now, I know everybody's not arrived yet, but I'm just daddy. I can't help it. I'm not just going to be that way. I know the Spirit of God will help me adapt at that time. And more than physiological needs, you better be willing to love my babies just like I love them. You better be willing to lay your life down for my little girls just like I know I would for my little girls. And if I don't sense for a minute that you don't love them like I love them, then you know what? You're not going to get my blessing. I'm about to say, Mama, we got to pray because this shyster here got to go. Amen. So this leaving and cleaving represents this man has come into maturity. He's come into security. He's come into a place of independence. He leave, therefore he has his own address. He's done the leave, therefore he has his own bills. He has his own job. He has his own this, that, and the other. He leaves that he might cleave. And if this is done correctly, then the husband can provide security to his wife, and that is the number one need of the wife, security. Turn back with me one book, Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. It's right in front of Matthew. Turn back with me to Malachi chapter 2. Now, I'm going to give you four pairs of things that I want you to associate with security. Four pairs of things that you can associate with security. In other words, husbands, we're going to look at some things that we can do to provide security for our spouses, security for our wives, all right? And the first thing that I want to give you, the first pair, is priority and preference. So, husband, if you're taking notes, write that down. Priority and preference. In providing our wives security, we, number one, make sure they're given priority and preference. That is security. It is security to your wife when she knows you are her priority. When she knows that you are her priority. That means outside of God, she comes first in your life. She has first place in your life. My family and I, you know, the kids, we'll get ready to go out or maybe do our family date night. And my wife and I, we have date night. We try to have that every week. Unless we just can't get our babysitter, we have date night at least once a week. Or once a week. I don't know if we've ever had it more than once a week. But once a week's good. We'll take once a week. Okay? But when we have family date night, sometimes I'll go around and get a poll of the kids. Hey, what do y'all want to eat tonight? Where do y'all want to go? And just kind of get a little feedback. And sometimes I might, you know, have my mind made up. Okay, we're going to do this and do this. And I'll go talk to Chris. She'll say, hey, plan on doing this. What do you think? And she'll say, well, I really had a taste for this. Okay. Hey, boom, done that. And so all of a sudden I changed the whole plan, which happened just yesterday. So Lana's in our bathroom. Chrissy's getting ready. Lana's in the mirror. She's getting herself together. And she says to me, she says, Daddy, I said, what we're going to do? She said, Daddy, I thought we were going to do this. And I said, baby, let me show you a very important lesson in life. And I grabbed her head in the mirror. I said, you see your head right here? I said, it runs your whole body. It's the head. Everything your body does comes from this head right here. I said, baby, you feel your neck right there? And I grabbed her neck. I said, you see your neck? She said, yeah. I said, notice what that neck has the power to do. And I turned her head for her. I said, you see that? The neck has the power to turn the head. I said, Daddy is the head in this relationship, but your mama, she's the neck. She can turn the head anytime she want to go. She just has that ability to turn the head. I said, mama, just turn me. We're going to go do this right here. And so I want even my children to grow up knowing that mama has priority, that my wife has priority, that she is the preferred one even over our children. She's the preferred one. I know there's a time in your children's growth and maturity where they have to be given preferential treatment. I understand that when, you know, it's midnight and baby's crying and diaper need change. I know that, you know, you might say, hey, hold that thought, be back in 8 minutes, you know what I'm saying to you? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I recognize that there's a time in your marriage where that child has to be given priority, but there comes a time, you know, where you have to communicate even to your children that their mama comes first, that mama has priority. Man, if you just give a little amen every once in a while to make this go a little better, to amen, to act like we had a men's conference, get a little umph in there, a little bass, make the sanctuary sound good and effective this morning, hallelujah. Priority and preference. No one, nothing comes before your wife, okay? Only God comes before her. She's the preferred one. She's the one that's given priority. Number two, admiration and affirmation. Admiration and affirmation. Make it a point, husbands, to flirt with your wife. You have a license to flirt and it go to another level. Flirt with your wife. Do you hear what I'm saying, do you? You need to be flirtatious with your wife. Look at her and tell her, baby, you spin my head like it's on a swivel. You got to say stuff, baby, you so fine, I drink your bath water. I mean, you got to say some stuff. That ain't really good, but you know what I'm saying. Flirt. Flirt. Edit that for television. Flirt with your wife. She shouldn't need to get no attention from anybody else. She ought to get undivided attention from you. Hallelujah. Admiration, affirmation. Build her up. Tell her how awesome she is. Tell her how dynamite she is. Tell her what an amazing woman she is. What an amazing mother she is. What an amazing wife she is. Words of affirmation bring security. So, admiration, you're admiring, you're affirming with your words. And then the third part of security, a way to show security, is faithfulness and transparency. Faithfulness and transparency. Are you in Malachi chapter 2? All right, watch this. Let's go down to verse number 15. Faithfulness and transparency. Watch verse 15. And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? Why did God make man and woman? Why did he make this thing called marriage? That he might seek a godly seed. That was the first thing that God was out after. If there had not been an Adam and Eve, there would have been no one else after that. That the earth was populated because God made man and woman and brought them together in marriage so that they could have a godly seed. But marriage goes beyond after kids. And we're going to deal with that some next week too. And further is that God wanted intimacy to go beyond kids. You'll understand later. All right. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. And that word treacherous means to deal unfaithfully, to deal unfaithfully. A part of your wife's security, husbands, is that you convey faithfulness and transparency. And they go together. I'm going to tell you why they go together. Transparency brings security. Transparency brings security. Say that out loud. Transparency brings security. And he told me not to use his name, but I'm going to use his name. Chad brought that up after one of the services this morning. He said, Pastor, he said, when you said that at 8 o'clock, he said, I thought about going through airport security, that they want complete transparency and everything's checked. And then once you get through the screening process, you're in a secure area, but there's no security without transparency. And that is so true when it comes to your marriage. Transparency brings security. And if you're a man, if you're a husband that's super sensitive to your wife's call or her inquiring of where you are and what you're doing, you need to recognize that you are creating insecurity in her life. If she calls you and you say, what do you want now? That, do you know you've just created some issue, and the issue is you. Even if you're not even doing, not doing anything that she needs to be concerned with, you are setting off an alarm that I am up to no good in the fact that I won't let you call me whenever you want to and you can't inquire about my life. And I know there's some men that just don't like this. I have counseled men that didn't like this. I counseled a pastor once who said, my wife just doesn't get that I'm a minister and I have to counsel people. And there's confidentiality when I counsel people, and that members are going to be calling me and I can't tell her, you know, who's calling or what that conversation's about. And I'm sitting here in front of this minister and I said, whoa, wait a minute, who's calling? Are you talking about a woman? He said, yeah, you know, members of the church, they call. I said, no, 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 no. No woman member of your church has more priority than your wife. You don't have a conversation with a woman and then tell your wife that's confidential information. That's not giving your wife priority, and it's certainly not being transparent, and that's why ministers get in trouble, because that kind of stuff should not happen in a church. Number one, you shouldn't even be meeting with a woman alone. Amen, amen, amen. Create an issue right there. And you got women that will come into churches and play on that because their husband's not listening to them at home and he's not being that man of God at home. So they find themselves calling preachers, calling pastors on the phone every day, all day. Hey, Pastor so-and-so, this is Suella. I'm just calling. I need some more spiritual guidance. Baby, call your husband. Get your husband up here with us. I'm not going to be your new man. I'm not going to be that man in your life. And I tell our pastors that, and I try to tell other ministers that. You better put your safeguard up. No, there's some women that will call you too many times, and we're not going to be a church where that takes place. I said it. Amen. Now, but when I was counseling a pastor, and I said, look, everything has to be open with your wife. You don't hide stuff from your wife for the sake of ministry. Where did you read that in the Bible? That's why the Bible says if a man desires the office of a pastor, he has to be the husband of one wife. He has to have his home secure. If he doesn't have his house in order, the Bible says he cannot pastor the house of God. Because you can't give opportunity for the devil to get in there. What I'm getting at here is that you don't have these friendships, relationships, these private Facebook messages, these private text messages that you got to delete before you get home. You don't have all that going on and be married at the same time. There has to be transparency before your wife. That means your phone can be in the open all the time. She can see who's calling. She can see who's texting. Pastor, I ain't living like that. Then you ain't living right. There should be transparency with your wife at all times. It doesn't mean you can't have your own Twitter. Doesn't mean you can't have your own this. It just means that it is open to you anytime. My phone is not set to a password that I only know. You can check my phone, check my iPad, check my computer anytime, day or night. Truth comes with transparency. And only those that are not truthful don't like transparency. And if what I'm preaching right now is bothering any man, then there is something wrong in your heart. And I'm trying to help this cause. Transparency means everything's in the open. I don't have private checking accounts and money stashed that you don't know nothing about. Oh, Lord. Now, Jesus. I really felt like I just struck a nerve in the house of God on a Sunday morning. I really feel like that just struck a nerve. And somebody said, that's a demon right there trying to bring infidelity into your marriage and mess up your relationship. I don't understand why she got to be in my business, because you are her business. Y'all are one. You're no longer two. You are one. Transparency will bring freedom to your life. You be open with everything. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm so fired up by this. Faithfulness and transparency brings security. It brings security. That means if she calls, you answer. And I've been with some of my own staff and be in a meeting, be intense, phone ring, and just ask my wife, I'll call her back. I said, no, you ain't want a pastor. I said, you better answer that phone. You ain't gonna no call back. You answer that phone right now. I know everybody's job doesn't allow that, but you get back to her as quick as you can. You get back to her as quick as you can. You say, hey, baby, I was with so-and-so, did this, and I got this going on. Don't you ever make your wife feel like it's a burden for you to pick up the phone or respond to a text. She shouldn't have to wonder where you are, what you're doing. It should be transparency all the time. Yes, sir. Amen. You won't give no place to the devil if you live like this. I mean, I ain't trying to be hard and mean, all that. I'm trying to help all of us. Can't we all get along? Now, number four, the fourth point of security, the fourth way that you can provide security to your wife is through care and provision. Care and provision. Now, that means not only am I providing for the home, but I'm bringing care, not just provision, care. I remember years ago, I was sitting down with a husband and wife, and he was just mad as he'd be. He said, I just don't understand why she thinks I don't love her. I work hard every day, pay all the bills, home every night, and she gonna say I don't love her. And I said, I had to calm him down. I said, look, man, calm down. You speaking a language she don't understand. She's looking at you saying no English. You speaking a different language. She wants more than the electric bill paid, more than the mortgage bill paid. She wants more than natural gas, the kind you buy that comes in the house. She wants more than running water. She wants her hair done. She wants her nails done. She wants to get a new dress every once in a while. She wants to feel like you care. And she wants to be able to communicate and not feel like we men are so bad about it. I'm guilty as charged. When I hear my wife talk, the first thing's going to my mind is, okay, how can I fix this? How can I fix this? How can I fix this? And most of the times, wives don't want you necessarily to fix it. They just want you to hear. And I've always been bad about listening to Chrissy and just thinking, okay, how can I fix this? How can I fix this? And men just want to fix stuff. A lot of times, wives just want to be heard. And there needs to be security when she speaks to you that her heart is going to be safe with you. And for me, in marriage, the hard part for me was that if she had an issue or a complaint, I took that personal to say, I'm not doing what I need to do. Next thing I know, I'm getting defensive, and I'm resisting the conversation when all she wanted to do was vent and share her heart. And then that now became an unsafe place for my wife because I was taking it personally. And now that's not safe. She can't share her heart because she don't know how I'm going to react. Come on, man, can we be real? And we can't let our wives be afraid of how we're going to react when they share their heart. And wives, let me say something to you, and then I'm going to come back to the men. Wives, make it a policy that when you're sharing your heart, that you don't accuse, but say rather, I'm feeling. See, if you say, I feel like we don't have the time we used to, then you're not saying, you don't spend time with me. Because if you said, you don't spend any time with me, he's going to come back and say, what do you mean I don't spend time with you? We just did this 2 weeks ago. See, you got to say, I feel, because now I feel is not an accusation. It's just, this is the way I feel. And you can talk about how we feel without it being without accusing. So there's safe ways to share, you know, your heart, but you have to find a secure place where your wife knows that it's safe for you, I mean for her, to share her heart with you. Without you taking it personal, getting upset, getting angry, that's all a part of security. Because when you listen to your wife without thinking you have to fix something, it shows that you care. I care to know how you're feeling. I care to know what's on your mind. I care to know what's on your heart without saying, how can I fix it?
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.